right, let me jump into my opening monologue. It's a good one. And let me just go ahead and say, sponsored as always by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, sees all ages, and they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So yeah, kids. I got a friend who found out last year he and his wife were having their seventh child. Seven. I mean, Charlene and I, we just had two, and sometimes that felt like seven. But both of my grandparents on my dad's side, they came from families of seven kids each. We had some epic family reunions in the summers every year, let me tell you. But I will top all of that, though, by making special note that a good friend of mine in high school, Grissom High School in Huntsville, to be specific, he was in the middle pack. He was in the middle of a pack of 15 kids in his family. 15! Now, I won't mention names, but I guarantee any of you out there who listened to this show and went to Grissom High School from about the early 70s to the 90s, I guarantee you, you had one of his siblings in school with you. And what a great family they were, too. 15 kids. But they had an attitude of sharing and sacrificing and looking out for each other. It was something to behold. Their mom passed away just a couple years ago, a much-loved lady. 15 children, 25 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren. What a legacy. But as you've heard me say recently, Charlene and I, we are also grandparents times two now. And yes, it is every bit as awesome as they say it is. And I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for the little ones. I am. I know it. They tell me to do cartwheels, and this old man starts going head over heels across the living room, just wrapping me around their little finger. I mean, literally, growing up, our kids, they didn't lack for discipline. They had to mind their P's and Q's. In our house, it was yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It was clean up your room, do your homework, take out the trash, don't get home late, all that kind of stuff. Of course it was. But there was also a lot of laughter, a lot of inside jokes. I mean, you never got called by your real name unless you were in trouble. But we also made sure that our kids knew from day one that they were much loved, unconditionally, no strings attached. And their mom and I would have their backs if something happened. I remember once my daughter was dealing with an awful person at school, just a bully, that whole mean girl thing, right? And we worked with her on her attitude of forgiveness, you know, recognizing the other girl might be dealing with some problems under the surface. And finally, one day, though, I just looked at my own daughter and I said, I tell you what, next time she does that, if you want to punch her right in the mouth, I will have your back. And my daughter just stared at me. And she said, what, really? And I said, oh, yeah, we're there, girlfriend. You've done great. I'll take responsibility if that's what it takes. Now, I don't recall that she had to, but at that point, she knew she could. And she knew her daddy had her back. But good Lord, my daughter could also wrap me around her own little finger when she was little. I mean, y'all, I will never forget when she was just 3. I may have told you this. She wanted to get her ears pierced. Well, I was not really into that idea at all, but for some reason, Charlene was okay with it, and it's kind of like leaving it up to me. Well, then 3-year-old little Caitlin Marie Williams, she launches the super charm offensive, trying her best to bat her eyelashes and wear me down. Finally, one night, I'm tucking her in bed, saying her prayers, and she just up and says in that little 3-year-old voice, Daddy, are you going to let me get my ears pierced? And I said, oh, girlfriend, it'll make you look so big. No lie. That little conniver, she reached up, she grabbed my face, and she says, I'll still be your little girl. And I just fell in like to a pile of mush, total ambush. So while she's sitting there holding my face without even knowing the words were coming out of my mouth, I just said, okay, you can get your ears pierced. Never saw it coming. Kids, I mean, what do you do? I'll tell you what we do. We fight for them. We fight for their right to remain children while they are young and to have the opportunity to move from innocence to wisdom at a pace that is actually commensurate with God's intent. And, oh, by the way, with parental consent. Y'all, there's a fight going on, and it's a fight worth having. It is not just a fight for our kids' innocence. It is a fight for their very lives, for their hearts and minds, for the right to love our kids, raise our kids, educate our kids. It's a fight worth having. I mean, you watch the news. In the middle of stories on foreign policy and wars and rumors of wars, economic trends, judicial action, who's running for what office, in the middle of all of that, you will also find that there are near daily stories that deal with what I would call cultural issues. An attempt by the left to transform the values, the mores, the thoughts, likes, and dislikes of our very culture. And I would hazard a guess that over half of those stories deal with how the left seeks to grab the hearts and minds of our children and supplant the rights of parents to raise their own children. Just yesterday, a story broke about a girls' high school basketball game in Massachusetts. One of the teams showed up with a so-called female player who was 6 feet tall with facial hair. And of course, it was a guy posing as a girl. During the course of the game, this trans guy, he dominated the opposing team and he wound up benching three of their players with injuries from his aggressive play. It was so bad that the opposing team finally forfeited at halftime. But just as maddening was the statement that was issued by the injured girls' schools, which rushed out there to announce that they actually supported inclusiveness, they just had to quit because they were worried about having enough players for the big championship game coming up. What? Listen, I'm going to suggest they never should have taken the court in the first place. And those girls need to know, oh, by the way, leaders of that school, that maybe you're in their court and not just on the court with the trans issues. Look, this is becoming an everyday event. Children are being hurt by leftist agendas, and it's a sickness. Why is it considered necessary, or for that matter even controversial, that children should have a right to privacy and security in the bathrooms at their schools without concern about another person of the opposite sex using the same facility? Why is it that we have to actually legislate that mental health counseling at school should only occur with parental consent and with parental input? Why is it that even right now as I'm speaking, right this very minute, there is a committee hearing a bill in the Alabama State Senate to actually put a definition of what a woman is into law? Why is that necessary? What in the world is going on when Disney has senior employees, even the CEO of the whole corporation, who insistently advocate for the right to teach gender fluidity and cross-gender lifestyles to children K through 5? And I want to know, what doctor in good conscience is actually going to stop and listen to a 6-year-old telling them they identify as the opposite sex and they really want their little cells forever altered through medicine or surgery? And then that doctor actually does it. And added to that is the horror that some parents have when they discover that materials are being used in schools to train teachers how to encourage the use of children's chosen pronouns without telling the parents. And by the way, that's happening in Huntsville area schools right now. Look, we're in an age where right is called wrong and wrong is called right. And the left knows if we raise up our children in the way they should go, when they get old, they will not depart from it. So the left has now taken the tack that they should have an unequal access to what it means to raise children. By the way, that means to raise our children. The left believes that they can co-opt the parents' authority and assume responsibility. They will have our kids where they want them, and that they are more likely to grow up to promote leftist ideals. Now, folks, we got to stop shrugging our shoulders. We got to stop laughing this off like some kind of weird fad. We need to tell our children that we have their back. If you show up at your daughter's basketball game and there's a dude on the other team, you should make sure yourself is known and insist that he be removed from the girls' basketball court and from, the girls' locker room as well. Folks, they want our kids. They want our grandkids. The fight is ongoing right now. It is real. It is every day. Make no mistake when I say that it is a fight. But it's a fight worth having. It's a fight to save a generation of young hearts and minds that we love. And it's indeed a fight worth having, and that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you right now, man. I used to think, working in a treatment center with kids, I used to think that I had seen it all. And then the next thing would come in, I'd think, oh my gosh, now I've seen it all. And I'll tell you right now, while I saw a lot of things that the world can do to kids, I think it's gotten worse. I think we're at a place right now where you better be prepared to make yourself heard, because your kids need to know that you've got their back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.